But anyhow, memorize and meditate on God's word. Prayer is a necessity for the Christian life, like breath to our bodies. However, and what they're doing in this first section here is saying basically what the instruction is, and then what the Pharisees did to sabotage it. So Pharisees, because they had distorted and perverted prayer, turning it into something of self-glorification. So they prayed to be seen. So we have prayer who is for the Christian life, our breath, and you know that we are to pray and to bring our request, make your request known to God. But the Pharisees took this to an extent where they prayed for people to see them. And giving, well, we are giving as an expression of our tithes, our offerings, and our dedication to God. Well, the Pharisees, they did it again to be seen of people. They made a show of it to prove their superiority they were superior to the other people. So, yet, we look at this and we don't stop giving because the Pharisees made a mockery of it. We don't stop giving, and so we don't stop praying because the Pharisees made a mockery of it. So, meditation. Now, meditation is another biblical principle that is abused, distorted, similar to what the Pharisees had done, because the word meditate and meditation is found 20 times in the King James Version of the Bible, and always with a positive spiritual activity. Now, most of us, I mean, when we hear meditate, we think of Buddhists, Hindus, transcendental meditation, you know, all those types of things. But those are the distorted pictures of what meditation is. When doing the meditation of these others, you're focused on your body, your breath. You know, even the advertisements, they have some of these people meditating, they got their legs crossed and their fingers together, and what they're doing is meditating, and some of them are meditating on their breath to find peace and receiving energy from Mother Earth. You know, they're doing that type of meditation. Or the Hindus, I believe, they have a mantra, and then you meditate on that mantra, that you know, to empty yourself and find this place of peace. But meditation, by the scriptural principle, is not emptying yourself, it's focusing on God. So the focus on God and on His Word, and to meditate is reciting or memorizing of biblical passages. So we're looking at the Scripture, and we're thinking of the Scripture, we're not thinking of nothingness, and we're not thinking of emptiness, and we're not trying to get into some solar awareness of, you know, transcendental meditation. We're meditating beyond the earth and beyond ourselves, you know, reaching out. No, that's spiritual, and that's reaching out to the wrong spirit. God doesn't tell us to reach out to the spirit. He says that His Spirit is like Him that we receive. Jesus said when He ascended to heaven, He would send another just like Himself. So the Scriptures are defining for us what we meditate on. And then the meditation on those scriptures is the application of those scriptures and those truths of the scriptures into our life. So we're thinking about what God wants to do. And that's why memorization of scripture is so important, because if we don't know the word, what are we going to think on? The Bible says, think on the things that are lovely, that are true, of a good report. If there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. So we're focusing on, now the one important thing that I remember from, you know, being in these groups and they're doing their trainings, and of course I always disagreed with most of it, but, you know, I was there in their territory, and so anyone that I was influenced, and anyone that I was working with, always said, no, this is what we're doing with this. This is what Christians, this is how Christians meditate. We meditate on the Word of God. If you don't memorize it, how are you going to think on it? So knowing the scriptures and finding a scripture, finding a particular text and thinking about it, musing over it. Like, I was going to do it a little later, but do it now. Let's, for a moment, I think of the 23rd Psalm. Now, if you are trying to find a quiet place, oh, the one thing that I learned from, the one thing that I learned from them is, if your mind wanders, bring it back. I always remember that part. My mind always wandered. And so, when you're thinking about the scriptures, and then you think about the weather, no, bring it back. Then you're thinking about the kids, no, no, bring it back. Then you think about, oh, I got to go write these bills, bring it back. So, you're training yourself, and this, you know, so going and positioning yourself in such a way that we do this as a habit, then we are finding ourselves, finding it easier to meditate and to think on these things. And so, again, you're not going to stop your mind from thinking because it doesn't stop. Even when you're sleeping, your mind is still working. That's why you have dreams. You know, your mind is still working. So meditating then is, okay, we think about the Lord is my shepherd, okay? That can be one phrase. You don't have to think about anything more. Well, think about the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or I shall not lack any good thing. Now, understanding the scripture, it says David didn't write this from a palace. He more than likely wrote it from a cave when he was running from, hiding from either Saul or his son, more likely his son, who was trying to dethrone him and take over the kingship of Israel. So as we think about the Lord is my shepherd, okay, what is he is Lord, okay? What does Lord mean? He is the one who is superior. He is the one who is above me. So we begin to think about the lordship of Jesus Christ and that we are his servant. So therefore, as his servant, we start thinking about and just meditating on the idea of God being my Lord and Savior. So we start bringing in, now, David wrote this psalm perhaps from a cave, so we can then meditate on this scripture where we are at. Maybe we're in times of difficulty. Maybe we have situations that are very pressing. The Lord is Lord over my life. He's Lord of my life. He is shepherd of my life even while I'm in a cave running for my life. The Lord is my shepherd even while I am here in this difficulty. So we don't have to take ourselves out of the position we're in. We are bringing God into and his word into the place that we are in. Now, in this place of meditation and this place of understanding that God is our Lord and Savior, that we are forgiven, we're in right standing with God. So we start meditating on the scriptures that tell us about we are his children, we are the sheep of his pasture, that we are one with God, he is one with us. Jesus says, I am in you and you are in me. I mean, those types of things, if we don't know them, we can't think of them, and we're meditating thinking of these things and allowing the Holy Spirit then to make those truths real to us. Now, God being my shepherd, he will lead me through these circumstances. David saw God leading him as his divine shepherd through these difficulties. So what we are doing then is, in this place of thinking on God's word and meditating on it, we are allowing God to speak to us that in this situation where I find myself, God is my shepherd. And then we can think of, perhaps we'll think of this scripture that God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So we are bringing in the scriptures that go with where I am at in this moment, these moments of spending time with God and just meditating. And then we think of the checkbook and everything. No, bring it back. So you bring it back. And so then we're meditating, that I shall not want, I shall not lack any good thing. So here I am in this place of whatever it is I'm in. It can be a good time, it can be a bad time, it can be a terrible time, it can be a sick time, it can be a healthy time, it doesn't matter. I bring God into this situation and I find that God will lead me through. And it's here that perhaps the difficulties come up and we remember, oh, so-and-so is in need. We can meditate on God's word that I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. So we know these things, and God will work it out. I pray for, Lord, here in this moment, in this moment of closeness with God, we make our request known to God. So it's a time of meditation and prayer. It's a time of finding peace with God. It's a time with that in the, you know, that's why the scripture says that he gives us the peace of God that passeth all understanding, meaning that I can't understand why I have peace in this terrible moment. In this moment of trial and battle and difficulties in the midst of battle, I find I am at peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. So we are learning then to draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. So we are looking and feeling God's presence, understanding God's presence. And he is not taking us some revelation beyond the scriptures. No, he's taking the scriptures and making that real to us in our present moment. So that meditation is allowing me to see God as my divine shepherd. Similar to what David, and I'm, you know, again, we're going towards that understanding. This is perhaps what David was going through in the difficult times. And as he was thinking on God, meditating on him, he wrote the psalm. And he saw God as his shepherd. I shall not want. Don't be in need. I find myself in green pastures. He restores my soul. You know, dryness, desert, dying. Yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, transition, difficulties. So you see, that David is seeing God in this perspective of a shepherd who takes care of his sheep. That's what he was familiar with. You could see God as a shepherd taking care of you, you know, as he watches over kids in the classroom and computer, and how that God makes everything work together, and for how that God works in our life, whether we're at home or on the road and working through things. God will put it in perspective of what we understand. He doesn't give to us things, you know, he will give to us things that we don't understand. That means that we just don't have the answer yet. But he will reveal it as we go forward. So because we don't understand something, that's not a problem. It just means that we don't have the answer yet. And so we allow the meditation, this relationship with God, to bring us peace and see God working in our life. So I think that's how we would look at the perspective of meditating and seeking God and allowing God to bring us his peace, because we are one with him. Again, the shepherd, that he leaves the 99 and will come looking for me. You know, he carries me he finds me when I'm lost. You know, he brought me back to the fold. When I was lost in sin, God came and got me, brought me back to the fold, brought me into his family. So there's just no limit to where all this can go, because it's your life. It's your experience. It's how that the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance the things that you've studied and memorized and are part of your life and part of the word that has been brought to you in your life. So, like that? Good. The first section here is remember God and His Word. So this is Psalm 77 and verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Now, this is a psalm of Asaph, a prayer of an individual who felt rejected and abandoned by God. Okay? So he feels the setting is, God has left me, I'm abandoned, nothing works. Okay? So what does he do? I will remember the works of the Lord. So he's meditating. I will remember what God has done. Now, what's happened is the events of his life are saying, God has left you. And what he is saying is, I choose to remember. Okay? I remember the works of the Lord. So he is remembering what? I will remember thy wonders of old. I will remember what you have done. The testimony of our life, the testimony of what God has performed in the past, maybe in our life or in the life of the scriptures. These individuals are going back to the plagues on Egypt and coming, crossing the Red Sea and the wilderness wanderings and coming into the conquering the promised land and the battles and the things and the prophets and all that. I will remember what you've done of old. So you have to have some place to base your knowledge. You have to have some place to think of when you are meditating. That's why I think the understanding of the Buddhists and the Hindus and all them, they are ever searching for something that isn't there. And so in their searching, they open themselves up to not to God, but to the spirit world, where they are not directed. When we meditate, we open ourselves up to God's world, to the Word of God, and to the Holy Spirit, and to the Word that is written, and the Word guides us as we think on God. We don't have a new revelation that we can start a new denomination with. We have the revelation that is already given to us, and that is Jesus Christ. And it is on Him that all these things hinge. Those are our boundaries. Those are our foundation. So, as a way of moving God to action, the psalmist meditates on the deeds of the Lord, the miracles of long ago. So, when we are thinking of, we're feeling that our situation is out of control, it's out of hand, we will now remember what God has done. For what reason? In this case, he's saying, I am moving him to action. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. So I will remember what you've done. And it's like, it says verse 11 in the NIV, that it is the deeds of the Lord, miracles of long ago, so that it is moving my faith. I disagree sometimes with the commentary. They're probably right. But anyhow, that me remembering what God has done does not force God's hand. It reminds me of what God has done, and it moves me to have faith in God for Him to do it over again. I'm not moving God. I am moving myself into a place of belief and faith. So our faith is, again, it's not moving God, it is moving ourselves into a position where we can receive of God. That the situation doesn't dictate to us who we are, God dictates to us to who we are. And if we remember what He has done, we are moving ourselves to a place where God can do a work in our lives again. That's meditating on the Lord, that this is, He surely will do this. It's not convincing ourselves that this can happen. It is remembering what God has done. That is stirring our faith for what can be done. and we can move forward in faith. Right, but you're declaring your faith by asking. We're declaring our expectation by asking and seeking. So it's important then that we, in the meditation in the Eastern way, they focus on their breath. Now, it's important that we breathe. Okay, it's important. Okay, if you try it for a long period of time, we'll see you over in heaven. But but focusing on your breath is causing, it's a known fact that if you take a deep breath and exhale slowly, you are calming yourself down. So it's just a way of calming ourselves down. So being at peace, being at rest now, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Do not be anxious, so therefore, stop it. That's the counseling of, what's his name? Bob Newhart. Just stop it. So just stop it. Don't be anxious. Just stop it. Take a deep breath. Exhale, focus on being at peace, God's peace. Okay? That's the meditation. God's peace. Don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication. So we are thinking on God's word, thinking of God's presence, thinking of his scriptures, thinking of his love for us. And we also remember, see, we're not emptying our minds. We are remembering what God has done. And so that moves us to believe what God can do. So let your request be made known to God. Also, you have not because you ask not. Why hasn't this happened? Well, have you really sat down and focused on God and asked him? Well, what if he doesn't answer? What if he does? if God doesn't answer, it just means he has another way. He will always direct us. Can't make a ship, direct a ship sitting in harbor. You've got to be in motion. So, all right. Yeah. If you don't pray, you're depending upon self, chance, whatever. But in this whole idea of seeking God, we are allowing God to speak to us. He will draw near to us if we draw near to him. It's like you make the first steps and I'm there with open arms. Like the prodigal son. He returned, father met him, ran to him on the road. This is what the process is in our own life. We have to come to a place where the prodigal son came to himself. He came to his senses. And says, my father's servants are much better off than I am here. So he came to himself, but where was he at? He was in a place where he was not distracted. He was feeding pigs, and he was hungry. And he didn't have anything left, and if he stayed there, he was going to die. So he started thinking about his father's home. Okay? So here we are in our place of meditation on God's word. We are remembering how much better off we are trusting in God and what God's word says to us. And in that, we are transitioning to our present and to asking our prayers of the Lord. Remember is found four times. I remembered God, verse 3. I call to remembrance my song in the night, verse 6. I will remember the works of the Lord, verse 11. I will remember thy wonders of old, verse 11. After bringing God's works to mind, Asaph would then meditate on them, verse 12. He would ponder them, reflect on them, sing about them, talk about them, pray in the light of them. So we can sing about the presence of the Lord. We can sing about, that's songs will come to your mind. There's victory in Jesus. There's power in the blood. Those are all hymns that we don't sing anymore, but they're still there. Last night I was listening to Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris sing the song, and you know, that one we played in church. And Rhonda says, what song is that? Have you heard that before? And I said, about 100 times. She said, did you forget that already? Haven't you heard that enough? No. I like that song. It moves me. You know, it moves you in your spirit, in the sense that, you know, I think it's when I just seen Jesus. No? Yeah, I think I've just seen Jesus, like Mary at the tomb. And you know, that is a, think about the times that Mary would remember that she is sobbing at the feet of Jesus, thinking that he's the gardener, and that, you know, Jesus is dead and they've taken him away, and he just speaks her name, Mary. Everything changes. Think about that as we meditate. Jesus speaks my name, and everything changes. Think about that. I mean, what does that mean to me in my spiritual life and in my everyday life? Jesus speaks my name, and everything changes. He was dead, and now he's alive. I was lost, and now I'm found. I was in tears, and now I'm my joy is abounding. My life was in turmoil, but now it's at peace. He spoke my name. See, those are the things that we need to just calm ourselves down in the midst of the turmoil and the craziness of life, or when bad news comes to us. We just stop and focus on Jesus. Jesus knows my name. Jesus knows the name of the person who is in need. Jesus, speak their name to them. Everything changes. See? So our meditation is bringing ourselves to a place where we just kind of stop, allow God to, now we need to focus on the scripture, we need to focus, you have to have a starting point. That's why you have a scripture. The psalmist here is I will meditate. He says, I will remember the wonders of old. I will remember what God has done. And in remembering what God has done, it pushed aside all the turmoil and the feelings of rejections and hopelessness and how life has gone sour. Pushes that aside. And then I remember what God has done. Oh, I sing about that, you know. I remember God has saved me. I know. Nothing but the blood, you know, how God will save our souls. You know, he saves me. He lives within my heart and life. Wow, we start bringing that into the presence, and we see the presence of God in our life, that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. It's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And I think about those things and how that word speaks to my heart. And he's the same God today and forever. Well, what does that mean for tomorrow? What he did then, he can do now, he'll do then. So suddenly, all of this out there takes on a new perspective, because God can do again what he did in the past, he can do it in the future, and all these obstacles are just trying to be a distraction. Whether I live or die, I am God's. Death is just a distraction. Now, that's oversimplification, and we don't like it when someone dies. You know, I don't know what it's like to die. I haven't died yet, but, you know, some people thought I was dead, but, you know. All right, we'll go on to the next verse. What's that? It's time to leave. What we look at here is Psalm 119, and this is, I'll give you some interesting statistics about Psalm 119. Oh yeah, it's the longest book in the Bible, so therefore I don't want to read it. Not so. Psalm 119 is a celebration of God's word written in alphabetical acrostics. So the alphabetic, the Hebrew alphabet is written, each letter is written in Psalm 119. It's composed of 22 stanzas. One for each letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Each stanza has 8 lines. So you have one letter, you have 8, one letter is one stanza composed of 8 lines, 8 verses, I guess. Each line begins with the same Hebrew letter. So if we had a Hebrew Bible and understood Hebrew, we would see how that each of the verses begins with the same letter. The eight terms used in Psalm 119 are interchangeable, although each one has its own range of meaning, which means the terms are not strictly synonymous. The 8 words are instruction, Torah, law, commandments, rules, word, promises, precepts, decrees. This variety expresses the nature and perfection of God's word. Each of the 176 lines in the psalm has one of these 8 terms. So every time you're reading it, you look for one of these 8 terms. Each line has one of these terms. So the psalmist was very deliberate in what he was doing. And, you know, he sat down and he said, you know, I'm going to write an acrostic of every letter in the Hebrew alphabet means something to God. So that's what Psalm 119 is. People think of the law of God as a burden or an obligation that is too heavy. The tone of Psalm 119 is one of joy and delight. O Lord, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Meditation. So, meditate on the scripture in stressful times, Psalm 119. I cried with my whole heart to the Lord. O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimony. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevented the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Meaning that he just stayed up all night meditating on the scriptures, on God's word, his law. So that's where we'll stop there. But we see where this idea of meditation doesn't take on the understanding that is in Buddha and Hindus and the Indian religion, Hinduism, can't remember. But meditation is calming ourselves, bringing ourselves before God, and focusing on his word. Be at peace. Look at the situation. Look at the word. The Lord is my shepherd. Bring the divine shepherd into your life at this moment. I shall not be in want. Meditate on those things and see, you know, how God will bring peace. But again, it's focusing on his word, and his word brings strength and life. He's not going to give you a new revelation. I heard something from God. It's not in the Bible, but he told me. No. Go back and think again. You listen to the wrong voice. See, meditating, we have to know that there is our voice, there's the voice of the devil, and there's a voice of God, the Holy Spirit. Discerning of the spirits is a gift of the Holy Spirit, meaning that God will help us discern between our mind, God's mind, and evil's intention. So evil intention just is thrown at us. Remember when Peter said, you know, Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow, Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. Just a few moments pass, and Jesus says that he's going to die, and Peter says, no, never. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. What was going on there? Peter heard two different things, and he thought they both were from the same source. Jesus knew which one was from the Father and which one wasn't. So in our life, because we hear those things, doesn't mean that we're lost. It just means that we have to know the difference. And being close to God means that we can discern those things that contradict the scriptures. Amen. Father, we are grateful for your presence. And Lord, we thank you that we can meditate on your word day and night. There is no time, nor place, nor season. It's can be any moment of any day. Lord, we just pray that we would understand your word and your spirit will guide us into the truths, into all truth that gives us peace of mind and heart, that establishes our faith and guides us in our walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.